God has three institutions: the home, the church, and the government. The oldest and the first one that God created was the home. I've heard somebody say, as goes the home, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes the government. And so the home is really what determines what kind of church we're going to have, and the home determines what kind of government or civilization that we're going to have. And to have a Christian home, we need to have strong Christian fathers. In this story of in Mark chapter 9, we read just a part of it a minute ago, there's a father. And he does some things to his son, for his son, that I think every father should do. Mark chapter 9 is where we read about the transfiguration of Christ. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on the mountain, and the Bible says he was transfigured or changed before them. He was dressed in raiment that shone, his face shone. Moses and Elijah appeared. God spoke as they stood upon that mountain. Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three houses, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and let's just stay here. And Jesus said, no, we got to go back down. And when they were coming back down, Jesus noticed a crowd that were gathered around the other nine disciples. And when they saw him coming down the mountain, the crowd came running to him. And Jesus asked the question that we read a moment ago, what question ye with them? And one of the ones that were in the crowd, one of the ones that came running to him, answered that question. And this is not only the title, but my text this morning. He said, and this was a father, he says, I have brought unto thee my son. I have brought unto thee my son. And again, this morning, I want to point out five things that this father had as a father. Five things that if you have a dad that does these things to you as a child, or you had a dad that did these things to you as a child, you ought to be grateful. If you're a dad this morning, I would encourage you to do these things for your children. Before I mention the five things that he did, I want to just tell you some things we don't know about him. We don't know his name. He wasn't famous. In eternity, it won't matter where people know your name or not. In eternity, it won't matter if you're famous. In this story, we don't know his financial standing. We don't know if he was rich or poor. In eternity, it won't matter whether you had a lot of money or you didn't have very much. In this story, we don't know if he was a regular synagogue attender or not. I don't know if he was a practicing Jew. I don't know anything about his religious upbringing. I think after this encounter with Christ, his life was, if he wasn't a practicing Jew, if he wasn't already a Christian, I think after this encounter with Christ, his life was changed. And so, I want to just mention five things about this dad that ought to be true of every dad that's in here. And I want you to know, as I preach this morning, I preach to myself most of all. First of all, this father was observant of his child. He was observant enough to know that his boy had a problem. In Mark chapter 9, we can read in the chapter that father says, my son hath a dumb spirit. Wherever it taketh him, it teareth him. He has convulsions. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth. He pines away. He faints. It cast him, this evil spirit that indwells him, cast him into the fire and cast him into the waters, trying to kill him. We talked a couple Wednesday nights ago and talked last Sunday morning as well. It's Satan is against life. Satan tries to end our lives. And this demon possessed this boy, threw him into the fire and threw him into the water, trying to end his life. This same story is told in the book of Matthew. Matthew said that he was a lunatic, sore vexed, greatly troubled, often falls into the fire, often falls into the water. It's also told in Luke chapter 9, where the Bible says the spirit taketh him and he cries out. He has convulsion. He foams at the mouth. It bruises him. It hardly ever leaves him alone. So I have a question for every father that's here today. If this boy were your son, would you know that he had a problem? You see, too many dads get busy with good things. They get busy with work. And it's right that dad should work. That's God's plan that the man provides for the family. And that's a good thing. And men get involved in church, and it's a good thing that men get involved in the church. God intends for men to have responsibility and to lead in the church. And they get involved, men get involved in things around the house, and that's a good thing. We as men ought to take care of the houses and keep up the repair. And men have hobbies and are interested in sports, and that's a good thing because God, it's a good thing to relax and get away for a while. But if we're not careful as dads, if we're not careful, we get so busy with the good things that we neglect the best things. God never intended for us to neglect our wife. God never intended for us to neglect our children. He expects us to keep our eye on them. He expects us to be observant of them. He expects us to notice when things come up in their life. I knew a dad. This is the gospel truth. I knew a dad. He had one daughter and one son. He wasn't very observant of his children. One morning, his daughter got up and said, "Dad, you need to take me to the hospital." And her dad said, "Why?" She says, "I'm about to deliver a baby." He had no idea that she was pregnant. He had no idea. Now, she was a small girl, and she didn't show very much. But that dad had no idea that his daughter was about to have a baby. We as fathers need to be observant of our children. And you cannot be observant of your children unless you spend time with them. And by the way, listen to me. I'm not just talking to dads that have little children that are, you know, little babies or that are 5 or 6 years old or 8 or 9 years old. I'm talking to all dads this morning. Tell me in the Bible how old your children have to be before you quit being a dad. There's no age limit. There is no expiration time. You are always a dad. You always need to be observant of your children. And you say, "Well, Pastor, my children are grown up. They are adults. They don't want me keeping my eye on them." Have you asked them? I dare say we'd find few children that would say, "I want my dad to not keep his eye on me." I think the vast majority of children would say, "I'd love for my dad to keep his eye on me." Doesn't mean to meddle. I mean, you can't have the same impact in their life that you had when they were little. But I dare say that every child here that has a living dad would love for dad to be involved in their life and to know what was going on. And you can't be observant of your children if you don't spend any time with them. And you will not spend any time with them unless you schedule it and stick to your schedule. And if you're here this morning, you have to say, "Preacher, my schedule is too busy for me to spend any time with my kids, even my adult kids." I'll tell you this morning, and I'll meddle this morning. Just get ready for it. I'm going to meddle this morning. If your schedule is too busy and you have to say, "I don't have any time to spend with my children," then your schedule is too busy. Take some of the things off of it. Even the good things, take off of it and spend time with your children, with your sons and with your daughters so that you can know what's going on in their life. Again, we lose the ability to influence. We lose the ability to even give advice at times. But it doesn't stop our responsibility of being a father. And again, we need to observe. We need to know what's going on in our children's life. So he was observant of his son. Number two, he loved his son and let it show. Say, "Brother Darrell, how do you read that in this story?" Doesn't say anywhere in the story anywhere that this father expressed his love to his son. I know that by the way he came to Christ. I know that by the way he came and what he said when he came to Jesus. In the book of Matthew, the Bible says he knelt down saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son." In Luke, the Bible says he cried out saying, "Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child." Here in Mark, the Bible says, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." I can picture this dad in my mind. I can picture the times that he saw that demon possess his son and throw him in the water and throw him in the fire. I can see the picture in my mind, this father perhaps taking his son to the doctors and maybe to the temple and to the priest, trying to find some relief, trying to find some help for his son. I can see the nights that he might have spent in prayer, asking God to intervene. And then I can see him coming to Christ. I don't know if he'd ever been in the presence of Jesus before. I don't know. Maybe he'd seen a miracle that Jesus performed. Maybe he'd seen Jesus cast a demon out of somebody else and knew firsthand that Jesus had that power. Maybe he was there when Jesus raised the dead or when Jesus healed the sick. Or maybe he hadn't seen any of the miracles at all. Maybe he had just heard what Jesus had done. But here's a man that came to Christ, that wept as he came, that fell down on his knees and wept as he begged Jesus to help his son. You know, we expect stuff like that from mom. Moms are the ones that are supposed to cry. Moms are the ones that are supposed to be tender. Moms are the ones that are supposed to be compassionate. Moms are the ones that are supposed to be emotional. We don't expect that so much from dads. Dads are men. We're supposed to be macho men. We're not supposed to cry. We think it's feminine to cry. We think it's weakness to cry. We put on a tough front. We cry, but we don't let anybody see us. We turn our head. We wipe our eyes. We think it shows a sign of weakness when we cry. Too many of us don't tell our children that we love them. We say things like this: "They know that I love them. I give them a place to live, and I feed them, and I put clothes on their back, and they know that I love them. I don't have to say it very much." And I want to tell you something this morning. There's absolutely nothing wrong for a man to cry. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong for a man to show emotion. There's absolutely nothing wrong for a dad. I don't care if your kids are 2 years old. I don't care if they're 42 years old. There's absolutely nothing wrong. And by the way, I think it's absolutely right. I think it's something that would please God. I don't care how old your children are, Dad. You need to put your arms around them. You need to hug them. You need to kiss them. You need to tell them that you love them. You say, "Well, my children are old. They'd be embarrassed if I would do that." I don't think so. Adam and Chantel were gone Monday. And Aaron's last day of school was, we had a full day Monday and half day Tuesday. So I was taking him to school Monday morning. They take him to school. He rides the bus home. So I drive up to the school. I said, "Let me give you a kiss before you get out of the car." "No, Pa. No kissing before I get out of the car at school." I said, "Don't you let your mom and dad kiss you when they bring you to school?" "No, Pa." But you listen to me. Listen to me. I know I'm meddling a little bit this morning. I don't care. You got a meddling preacher. There are little boys and girls that want more than anything else for their dad to put their arms around them, squeeze them and kiss them, and tell them that you love them. There are teenagers, even though they may bristle a little bit, they still want the same thing. They may not say it, and they may resist you a little bit, But they still want Daddy to put his arms around them, hug them and kiss them and tell them that they love them. There are 20-year-old and 30-year-old and children that are 40 years old and 50 years old that still desire and still want more than anything else for their dad to put their arms around them, hug them, and kiss them, and tell them that you love them. That's what this dad did. He loved his children. He loved his son. He let it show. Number three, he was willing to admit that he needed help. Boy, he had a problem. Dad could have said, as a man, I'll take care of it myself. I'll protect him myself. When the demon throws him in the fire, I'll pull him out of the fire. When the demon puts him in the water, I'll take him out of the fire. I can take care of this problem myself. And sometimes as dads, that's our feeling. We don't take advantage of God. God says, hey, look, I want to help you be a dad. I'll help you. If you come to me and ask me, I'll help you be a dad. Sometimes God puts other people in our life that have walked down the same road that we are walking down now, that have faced the same problems that we are facing now. And sometimes God puts those people in our life to help us with our own children. But sometimes we as dads are so proud that we don't want to ask for help. And we say, no, I'll take care of it myself. And here's a dad that said, no, I've tried everything else. Perhaps he'd already prayed, but he heard about Jesus. And he said, Jesus can help me. I know Jesus can help me. And he brought his son to Jesus. Number four, he was a man of faith. A man of faith. Not only did he believe in Christ, but he believed that Christ was the answer to his problem. And again, I don't know if he'd seen a miracle that Jesus worked. I don't know if he'd only heard about it. Not important if he'd seen it or if he'd only heard about it. What was important is that at this particular moment in his life, he had faith that Jesus could help him. He believed that if he brought his son to Christ, that Jesus could help him. And so as a man of faith, he said, I'm going to bring my boy to Jesus Christ. I'm going to fall on my knees. I'm going to ask the Savior to help my boy. I'll tell you something this morning. I know a lot of people think our country is it is going down, down, down. I know a lot of people are looking with trepidation to the election that we're going to face in November. But I want to tell you something this morning. What we need as a nation is not better politicians. What we need as a nation is not a better educational program. What we need as a nation is not a better economy. All those things are good things in their proper place. But what we need as a nation more than anything else is fathers that put their faith in God and live by that faith in God and let that faith in God show up in their actions. Amen. That's what we need more than anything else. Is dads that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, dads that trust God to help them in every area of their life, and God that put, and fathers that put their faith in Him. Now listen to me. I know I'm almost out of time, but listen to me. If you're a dad here this morning and you're not saved, you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I'm going to ask you to do this. Maybe I can't convince you that there's a heaven or a hell. Maybe that I can't convince you that Jesus died for your sins as an individual. But would you listen to me this morning? Your children need a Christian dad. Amen. Your children needs a father that believes in Jesus Christ. And if you won't get saved for your own sake this morning, would you get saved for the sake of your children? Amen. Would you? Would you listen, your children need a dad that believes in God. Your children need a dad that has faith in Him. Your children need somebody that knows Jesus Christ to be their dad. Amen. Now, you are a sinner, and there is a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from God forever. You need Jesus Christ for your own sake. You need Jesus Christ for your own soul. But if I can't convince you to come to Christ for your own sake, would you come to Christ for the sake of your children?
Amen.
Would you? Would you? I don't know the dads that are here this morning that aren't saved. I know a lot of you. I know most of you are saved. There may be a dad here this morning that's never received Christ as Savior. As Brother Clyde said a moment ago, I can't think of a better day to get saved than on Father's Day. I can't think of a better gift you can give your children on Father's Day than to give them a Christian dad. And then number five, real quickly, he brought his child to Christ. He didn't send him. He didn't say to his kid, hey, you go find Jesus. Jesus can help you. He didn't say to a neighbor, hey, you're going to that crowd that's going to round Jesus Day. Would you take my kid and see if Jesus could help him? He brought him to Christ. He brought him to Christ. I close with this thought. Every father here today is taking their children somewhere. Every father here today, you're determining the direction that your children are going. Let me ask you real simply, are you taking them to Jesus? Or are you taking them away from him? I know I'm preaching to the church crowd. I know most of you here, you've raised your children in church. You got them in church this morning. You brought them to church this morning. That's good. That's what God wants us to do. But we as dads, we're taking our kids somewhere. And again, not just when they're little. Your example as a father to your grown children is still important. You're taking them somewhere. Question is, are you taking them to Christ? Are you taking them to God? You need to. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the story of this father. Thank you for what it teaches us, that what you want us to be as dads. And I pray this morning, I pray, Father, most of all, for that dad that might be here this morning that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Oh, I pray that you would just convict them this morning, that they could see their sin, they could know that they're separated from you. And Father, help them to know that their children need a Christian dad. They need a dad that knows God. And if they won't come for their own sake this morning, I pray you'd help them come for the sake of their children. And then I pray for all the dads that are here. Thank you for giving us good dads. Thank you for the dads in our life that pointed us to you. Father, help us to be, all of us as dads, be the dads that you want us to be. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.